Nanako, the Roma Municipal Utilities Commission, Monday, December 11th, meeting in order at 11:45. We'll start out with our consent agenda, and we'll start out with, again, of course, a motion to, for the resolution to accept it, and we'll have a little discussion at the discussion time. So at this point, I look for a motion to accept the resolution to, for the consent agenda.
I'll make a resolution to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Okay, motion made and second. Discussion. Discussion that our agenda that we have is approved. The minutes from the November 27 meeting approved. And payment of our bills. And again, I open it up to commissioners for questions. Hearing none. Would you take roll, Beth?
Sims. Commissioner DeBleek.
Aye.
Magnuson.
Aye.
Lahmer.
Aye.
Mattern.
Aye.
Mabou.
Aye.
Weber.
Aye.
Holtz.
Aye.
Thank you. Next on the agenda is the annual department reviews and updates, and as you know, this kind of ties into our strategic planning that we're looking at, the folks who update what's been accomplished in their departments and for themselves. So without any further ado, we'll start out with Facilities and Purchasing Supervisor, Mr. Marty.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and members of the Commission. 2017 review for the Facilities and Purchasing Department. We, as it shows on the attachment, we continue to monitor and adjust. There was a project we worked on this year is our setting our minimum order points for reordering materials. Working in NISC, we continue to kind of dive into the different areas of that program and utilize those functions. Working with the requisitions and quotes and purchase orders and such, different departments. This summer we had a summer helper here. We're able to catch up on some other projects. We painted the Wilmer substation building, replaced some old wooden storage racking in the cold storage, put up pallet racking, did a lot of tree trimming and removed some brush and things like that. And then Alec was able to assist the meter department in doing their meter verification. So those were some of the items that Alex helped us out with this summer. Other projects of notes or things that are still going on in 2017 and will carry over. Worked with Michelle to set up and organize the SWOT strategic planning sheets and that system, and we'll be back here in a few weeks to update you with that. Reorganized and labeled inventory in the yard, and working on cleaning up the yard north of Pacific Avenue right now. Some excess materials and scrap. Began planning for future downtown streetlight replacement. Held an initial meeting with the city to have that initial discussion. Worked with John Focadal with some storm drain repairs along Pacific Avenue and 8th Street, and they'll be wrapped up in next spring once it's warm up the tar again. Entrance doors on a water treatment plant and installed overhead door operators at the water plants. Had a safety concern there, a near miss, so we put door openers in. And then currently working on transformer and switchgear cleanup, reconciling our paper history and equipment with the what NISC has. There's some discrepancy there and making sure that if the computer says it's in the yard, that it's in the yard, and if it's at the correct address, those sorts of things. So been working and discussing with staff for restructuring across all the departments. And then earlier this year, we hired a new cleaning contractor, and they've been doing a fantastic job for us throughout the year. Capital projects for the year. We completed and purchased the installation of a new phone system with Mike, the IT department, got that all set up and running. We replaced a forklift, or actually transferred our old forklift to the power plant, and then we purchased a used forklift, where the storage department's got a little bit higher capacity and able to take care of the offloading a little bit better. Replaced our 2001 mudsucker with a new Vermeer mudsucker vacuum unit. Purchased a dump trailer for all the departments to use. And then we replaced three vehicles. One for the storage department, one for the water department, and one office vehicle. We did complete all of our capital improvement purchases this year and came in under budget approximately 19% on all of those purchases. So, like it says in summary, it was an active year for the department. Got a lot accomplished. We're proud of that. Worked with other departments and continue to kind of clean up and organize our inventory systems and our storage areas and things like that. We will be, just found out here a week ago that our recycling vendor is no longer going to be with us at the first of the year, so we'll be working on procuring a new vendor to help us out with that. That was a system that really worked good, just filling up the trailer and they come and haul it out, so we don't have to put the manpower into that. So we'll be digging into that a little bit. Matt does a really nice job for us, very active, and does just really fine work and always busy. Gets a lot of things done, so we're proud of the work that he does. And then just kind of looking forward to, as we restructure the additional staff that we'll be bringing in and the new challenges, new responsibilities and things that'll bring us. So if there isn't any other questions, or I'll have the answer questions if you have them.
Okay, thank you, Kevin. Any comments one way or the other from commission questions that you might have, or clarifications more so, I guess, probably?
Madam Chair, just a, Kevin, do you normally get summer help?
We have not. This is the first year that we got it, well, that I've been. Mm-hmm. So, I believe they used to in years past. Joel or somebody else can answer that question. We had enough work and the opportunity, so.
Sure. Commissioner Holtz, expand on that just a little bit. This summer we hired four part-time workers, and that is unusual. And the reason we hired part-time workers this year is due to the fact that we are running one individual short in the line department in preparation for positions for individuals over at the power plant. We're running a position short over at purchasing and facilities. Typically, we run two full-time out there. We've been running one for over a year now. So that was a way for us to catch up with some of the work that has been pushed back. So it is unusual, good question, and that's why we had four part-time individuals here this summer.
Thank you.
Sure. Quick question. In regards of how often the SWOT analysis that you guys update, I mean, is it something like weekly, monthly?
We give updates to you folks quarterly, but Michelle and I, send it out to all supervisors and lead people.
Staff can update at any time. They have the links where the documents are saved at, but then, like right now, we're specifically pushing it to them with reminders, make sure you're updating, and then this week, Kevin and I will be going through it, pushing anything that's an issue over to John, getting that firmed up so that we can report back to the commission with a quarterly report on the 26th.
Is there any way, do we have an access to those documents? Because I was trying to look into them, last couple of days, but unfortunately the only access that I have was policies and miscellaneous data. Is that?
You would have the last update that we did, last quarter, that would have been presented to the commission as the first update that we did. Once we get it all firmed up, then it will come across on your agenda for the next meeting.
But there's no place that we can go back and look at in terms of if I want to revisit and see.
Actually, Commissioner Mabu, as Michelle stated, The updates are in the commission packet, so the most current update would be part of the commission meeting information. Beth, you know what meeting it was on about 3 months ago?
Listed under...
August.
Yeah, well, we had one on here that was dated from June of 2017. That's all listed on your, on your iPad.
I see.
That has all the listings on that. There was one...
So we'll go back and find the last update that staff provided to the commission, send out an email. And at that point in time, you can go back into your commission packet listing, and then there you will find the update that was presented like 3 months ago. And the next update will be coming. It's on schedule for our next commission meeting. The update is scheduled, and that'll be part of the commission packet again.
Yeah, I was just like looking curiously, you know, just to see how far we really, because I know that some of them was an opportunity, some of them was a challenge, some of them was, you know, something that's being worked on, just to see where we are, you know, in times.
No, excellent question. To answer your part of your question from a staff level, staff uses that strategic plan as our guide to accomplish work. Yep. There, when that plan was updated, we updated it in June, maybe May, June, is when our strategic plan was updated, that the commission approved an update to it. And with that plan, when you go back and look, you'll see there's time frames that have been established with each one of those items. So over the period of, you know, 2-3 years, some of those items are carried out, you know, to the extent of maybe 3 years before they're completed, but there's benchmarks that are met between now and then so that when we hit the end target date that we're there. So we can provide a very thorough update next meeting and talk a little bit more about how we accomplish the end goal, what the process is from staff level to accomplish that, and how we as staff use that document as our guide to get there.
Okay, thanks, John. So, appreciate it.
Thank you.
The current listing we do have on the iPad is from the as of the June 2017, mm-hmm. under your miscellaneous data. That's all on there.
Oh, no, miscellaneous data, okay. I went to the search button and it's somehow doesn't have a search.
You go to the bottom of that.
I'm fine. Okay.
Bottom of miscellaneous data and you'll find all the SWAT listings.
Okay, thanks.
And so now you learn, Zach, if you have a question, just buzz it over to Beth and she'll track it down for you.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks again, Kevin. Okay, then next we'll go on to the IT department and the coordinator there, Mike Zamgren, if you could give us your compliments. Overview of your accomplishments in that department.
Good afternoon. Thank you. The IT department saw another busy year in 2017. Some of the capital items I was looking to do was just a physical server that gets changed out on a 5-year rotation, so nothing exciting there. Came in under budget, as you can see there. Copiers this year, traditionally this is a capital item. We usually purchase a new one for the main office here and then kind of funnel the older one down to the service center. This year, rather than purchasing, I checked out leasing and that seemed like a pretty good deal. And for 60 months, for two new copiers, It's $10,100, as you can see, over 5 years there. And the capital budget was $10,000, so we're in that ballpark. But that's now, like I said, part of the operating budget, and so that wasn't really a capital item this year. The redundant firewalls, you might recall, we probably talked about this last year about this time. This was actually completed last September as we were getting ready for the AMI system. And the reason I wanted to push that ahead was just for configuration purposes on the firewall, rather than doing it twice. But the biggest thing for me was the redundancy of having a second firewall 6 months earlier or so. So, and that again, budget was $6,800 and came in just under at $67,000. So that officially was done in 2016. So again, really not a capital item, but I just wanted to touch on those, that those were only part of the 2017 capital budget. So with that being said, 35% of the capital budget was used this year. And that was the physical server, and like I said, the copiers are now leased, and the redundant firewalls were done last year. Any questions on the capital items? All right. Then just to touch on some high points, like Kevin said, we put in the new phone system, and that took a lot of work as far as replacing hardware. We had to replace switches here in the main office and down at the service center and the power plant with power over Ethernet switches, which give the new phones their power. We had to run Ethernet cable to phone locations where there were no PCs, meaning that the new phones kind of hang off a PC. And if there was no PC there, we just had to get a direct line there. So we had to run probably a dozen or so of those at the various buildings. And then we replaced our analog lines with a new fiber service with Charter. And that was an experience. Took a little time on the contract, and then we waited 2-3 months because of the weather to get it here. So it finally went in June, and we were hoping for February, early March on that, but it's in and it's working. I was asked to go to the NISC member information conference in September, and NISC is our software vendor. And I just wanted to say that they put on a first class show down there, great training opportunities, and just put on a great show. I mean, even after hours and stuff, they have plenty for you to do, good food and activities for you to do. So it was my recommendation that we send a representative or two down every year. Very beneficial. Another thing that we're currently working on is some programming that's left over on the old AS400 for Josh. Josh. What's your name? So for Joel and his water department, we're working with Star Energy out of Alexandria, and we are pretty close to being done, and we're hoping to get that going by January 1st, and it's going to be close. And then the penetration test, as I was here a couple weeks ago, to get that approved. I was hoping to get that in December, and we probably could have, but NetSpy, who's doing it, is pretty busy right now. So I said, rather than trying to squeeze us in, let's just do it right away, first of the year. So that's where we're going to start the year with that. So, any questions?
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
Any comments, clarifications from commissioners? So these things that are listed, anything else as far as, you know, always looking for your goal to get done in that department for this next year besides what you've got listed there, they'll take care of it?
For the next year?
For 18, yeah.
18 is going to be really no capital items on my part. Things are falling in like 3-5 year cycles in that regard for those bigger ticket items. Quite frankly, I would like to use next year as a learning year. So much new stuff in the last couple of years, and basically, you know, just enough to get done what needs to be done. So I'd like to get to know some of this software in depth a little more.
Okay.
Would be a big goal. So 2019 will probably be another big year again for capital items.
Okay, thank you.
Madam Chair. Sorry. Okay, I just have a question related to AS400. Now you've got the water and the well fields programming to be converted. What's left on the AS400?
The other thing is the power supply stuff, and it sounds like they're very close as well.
Okay.
So I think you said going live February.
With our latest pickup, with the target date. So
that's great. About the last two items.
Cool.
So hopefully we can shut her down.
Yeah, good. Thank you.
Okay. something else. Again, thank you. And then we'll go on to the engineering department and our electrical engineer, Mr. Smith. Chair.
Thanks, Madam Chair. I'll just run down the projects as they're listed on the memo there. Priam Substation is becoming kind of a household name. The preliminary engineering on that is complete. The wetland mitigation has been approved by the authorities. Right now, they're kind of going through like a closing process almost on the wetland credits. And then DGR engineering has begun the regular engineering on that. And I just got a big packet of information for my review. That's moving forward as well. We're hoping to get the bids for the site work published in January so that we can get a contractor on board and they can start as soon as the thaw comes in the spring. We'll also release a couple other bid packages throughout the winter on that. Skate upgrade project, that was a big one, and we just did it last week. That's the hiccup that Michelle mentioned. So the SCADA upgrade itself went fine. We transitioned from their release brick 37 or something to a platform 11, and there was quite a few changes in that, and that's why we try to do it at least every 5 years, because if you get beyond that, the change gets so big that there's just a lot more involved process to do that. So they were able to cut over to our new system last week. The water, electric, and heating systems are able to be controlled, and all the data is being collected as expected. The external interface for a lot of our reporting to grab that data that we do store on the SCADA systems is being rebuilt, because we did change the database platform during that conversion. And so the primary query reporting tool has been fixed, and we've got a couple other onesie twosie Excel spreadsheets that we need to relink on that one, and we're working on that this week. The expenditures column there, the $82,000, that's what we've actually paid on the SCADA system so far. The total expenses are going to be $99,000 plus the travel expenses, and we haven't seen those invoices yet. The wind turbine spare breaker, I list this in my projects, even though Mr. Folkert all over there did all the legwork on this one. It was actually extremely challenging to get that spare breaker in our hands, but we did get it switched in and in place, and it's operating now, and we have the opportunity to rebuild our old one, so we don't have to go through that whole headache of trying to find a vendor to get us a new one. So that's going to be... You'll see that again in 2018 as we rebuild that breaker and put it into wind turbine number 3. The OCB maintenance, that's an oil circuit breaker. We've got a few of them left. There's newer technologies that we're migrating to as we're able, but we still have a few old ones on our system. We serviced those back in March. Two of the four that were serviced actually had some things that weren't in normal operating limits, and so that has been placed in the budget for the upcoming years to get those upgraded too. Cell sub maintenance actually just started today. We did the switching to take those pieces of equipment out of service. They're beginning on that, and I expect that to be done by the end of the week. E-sub switches, our line department doesn't do a whole lot of work in the substations just because we don't have to. They work pretty well once they're up and running. But we did have a switch that was pretty hard to operate. Even though our guys are pretty strong, it was still giving them trouble. So they're smart, they're talented. They got that switch at the E-sub replaced in August. The next item, the transmission line modifications, we had budgeted for that for this year, not knowing when GRE was going to actually perform their transmission upgrades. This is related to the Priam substation project. GRE isn't expecting to do that construction until 2019. And so our modifications to connect to those new lines can't be done until 2019, so you won't see those expenses until a couple of years from now. The next one, substation communications. This was originally proposed as a 2016 project, and again, that's one of those, it's reaching end of life. We've got a notification from the manufacturer that they're no longer building and supporting this equipment. We do have replacement parts on shelves in our power plant here, so it's not critical that we get these things out of service, but because the manufacturer is no longer supporting them, we're going to upgrade to the latest and greatest there. Like I said, it was scheduled for 2016. We had some bushing failures on our 230 kV transformer at our Wilmer substation in 2016, and the initial estimates to repair those was over $100,000. And so we postponed this larger project because it didn't have to be done to do the transformer bushing work. We didn't do it in 2017 because I wanted to get the SCADA system upgraded, and I didn't want to do those two projects at the same time because they have a lot of interaction between the two, and it's easier to get one done before you move to the next one. So this project, I've opened the work order on it so that we can reserve those funds, but most likely most of the work will be done in 2018. The diesel generator building has also not been completed in 2017, and that's primarily because of the changes in the district heating and how that will relate to the operations of the generator 3. And I believe we're going to see more discussions on that in the upcoming planning committee. So you'll hear more about where that project is going and what our options are there. The AMI backhaul wasn't a budget in engineering, but it was something that we covered. We got fiber from the towers that hold the AMI antennas back to the corporate offices here, and that allows our meter reading equipment to interface with our billing system. So that's in place and that's up and running, and thanks to IT and customer service for the help there too. It was a group project on that one. GIS, we're moving forward on that, evaluating different vendors and different features that they have to offer. We're hoping that we can create a position in engineering to handle the new GIS software and features and benefits there, so we're not sprinting to the finish line on that one, because we're hoping that we can create a position for that as this district heating unfolds. But we are working with the city and county as well, because there's information that they have and there's information that we have that would be helpful to share between the different entities there. The wind turbine network, we used to be heavily reliant on DeWind Company to provide a lot of our monitoring, provide a lot of our tech support. As we brought more of that in-house, we've been able to do more. And part of that, to just improve efficiencies, we extended the wind turbine network here to our power plant, so our wind technicians can get their laptops onto the wind turbine network there in the power plant, and they can remotely troubleshoot things from the office here without having to go out there. It saves time, and we can get things done more efficiently by doing that. Pole attachments, the new thing in wireless cellular technology is going to kind of more of a mesh network thing, where they set up a whole bunch of different antennas throughout the city to increase, I think it's to increase bandwidth. I'm not entirely sure why they do it, but they're kind of going away, or not necessarily going away, but supplementing their, you know, big towers with these smaller antennas throughout cities. And it just so happens that Wilmer is a hotspot for their beta testing. So we've been doing some work with a company called Mobility. I think they have 10 or 11 attachments. They go on our streetlight poles, and now there's a company called SCC that's trying to get permitted for 3 more attachments. We have a pole attachment agreement that goes through a whole process as far as licensing and safety and codes and things like that. So we're working with them. I would expect to see more of that. And as you drive around town, if you see a streetlight pole with a bunch of strange looking things that isn't related to a streetlight, it's probably one of those attachments. And last but not least, NERC compliance. That's an ongoing thing. I believe most of you are pretty familiar with the requirements there, but it's constantly adapting and changing, and so we have to review what's new and what's old and update all of our policies and all of our procedures to stay compliant in those. So that's my list for 2017. Are there any questions?
Thank you, Jaron. I do have one question regarding it gets onto that pole attachments, because on the national level, that's becoming much more of a challenge to municipal utilities, and the companies, the Verizons, the AT&T are out there. Do you feel that, and a little bit of John, I guess, on this too, that our agreement is taking care of issues that are not issues, but taking care of all the needs that are there for the utilities as well as for that communication company?
Yeah, Madam Chair, that's a great question. Our existing agreement actually came from APPA, the American Public Power Association, and they're in front of this to make sure that municipal utilities public power is covered and protected in their agreements. And so we've adopted the template that they've published, and I've actually been sitting in on some webinars that address this, because it is an ongoing or new deal from APPA. So they've been very helpful in helping us with these new attachments, and I'm confident that we're up to speed on where we need to be on that.
That's good, because those communication companies have got strong lobbyists out there.
They do.
Let me tell you that. You hear a lot about that.
Madam Chair, it's an excellent question. As Jaron indicated, we use APPA. Rumors, actually, we've been in front of the curve on that early on when APPA came out with that policy recommendation. We adopted it, modified it to fit our needs here in the community, but for the most part, it is a standard application. What's going on out there in the industry is not all utilities have adopted that, and when those small cell companies show up in town, they're basically being told that they don't have a process for them to attach, and that's creating some legislative, or it's prompting them to go and address it legislatively. Excuse me. With that said, however, we have had discussion with with the companies we work with, and they all appreciate that APPA model that we're using in addition to our charges that we have built within our policy. And all our costs that we incur, and they refer to them as make-ready costs, but if there needs to be poll work or study or anything that's required, those costs are all built into that agreement that those companies have to reimburse us for those dollars that we incur so that they can attach. So, and they're very supportive. Like you said, we've reached out to them, unless Jaron has heard anything different. But last legislative session, when they were lobbying to have legislation that would direct the installation of them, or require, and probably a better word, to require utilities to allow them to install on us, we had reached out to a number of them and asking, you know, do you like our policy? Why are you lobbying? You know, what should we be changing? And what we had heard is that if every utility had the policies that Wilmer has here, we wouldn't have this issue. We would not be lobbying. So we're here, Wilmer. We're ahead of that curve.
Yeah. And that's very good. And it speaks to being involved in what's happened nationally as well, to see that we are staying ahead of the curve. Thank you, Amy. Any clarification or questions from the commissioners? Again, thank you very much. Moving on to the financial reports, and we'll have Director of Finance Denise Runge speak to us about that.
Thank you. Looking at September's, I'm just going to go to the very last page, all divisions, and just do a summary on September. Month to date, $1,047,885 is our margins. Year-to-date, $4,625,713. Comparing that to last year, we're $1,089,462 ahead of last year's margins through the month of September. Then looking at the October financials, looking at the electric division for the month of October, our margins $373,475. Year-to-date, we're at $4,081,760. Last year, we were at $3,000,000, so we're $1,080,000 ahead of last year at this time. And if you look up on the top, energy acquisition amount $923,705, a large majority of that additional $1 million is our EAA for 2017. Looking at our water financial statement, for the month of October, we made $58,748. Year-to-date, $751,797, which puts us $252,480 ahead of last year. Majority of that is a decrease in our expenses, and a large portion of that is how we allocated the G&A expenses. January 1st of 2017, we started allocating them actual, where in the past it was just a flat percentage. So there was a savings of approximately $176,000 on the water department. That is creating that additional $252,480,000 over last year. If we look at the heating division for the month of October, we have a loss of $50,866. Year to date, we have a profit of $173,514, a little over $106,000 ahead of last year. The majority of that is due to the fact that the majority of the equipment was fully depreciated as of 2017, so there's a difference of $75,000 on depreciation. Looking at our total financials for the month of October, $381,357 are our margins for the month of October. Year-to-date, we have profit of $5,007,070. We are $1,438,463 ahead of last year at this point in time, the end of October. Are there any questions on any of the financial statements? Thank you.
Any questions from any of the commissioners at this time? And that EAA is helping to make this improved in that with the changes with the city franchise fee and stuff, things will look a little bit different, I would say, going forward. Okay. If not, any other questions from the finance side, we'll go on to thank you, Denise, and we'll go on to the power supply report. Michelle.
Thank you. Looking at the power supply comparison document between October 2016 and 2017, in October of 17, our power supply cost was $41.94. That is an 11% decrease from 2016. A couple of notes on that. Boiler 3 was down all days in October. That means our cost of generation was about $238,000 less than in 2016 for the same time period. It did result in more energy purchases at under $33,000 compared to 2016. The increase in our transmission costs from 2016 was just under $72,000. Any questions on those? Okay, so looking on the same sheet on the bottom graph, the October actuals were 4.5% below the budget, or lower than the budget for October, and the budget did include generation for the month of October, so having Boiler 3 down made a difference in that number. Looking at the next page, the real-time LMP average in October was $21.54. It's just 15 cents higher than the previous year, so real-time averages are holding pretty steady. The day-ahead LMP average was $19.26 in 2017. That is $2.50 lower than last year's. The gas prices in October were at $3.68 a decatherm. November was at $3.93 a decatherm, and December is at $4.16 a decatherm. And that is, December is 30 cents lower than it was last December.
Anything for that, for those gas prices? Now, with what you're seeing out there, or any talk in the industry about,
what's going to happen with those going forward in the next year, anything that...
Nothing that I can really speak to. Maybe John has more, yeah, nothing really that...
Okay.
Madam Chair, based on data that we just received this morning from Connect Energy, we go out the next 3 years, prices are pretty stable, if anything, slightly declining yet over the next 3 years. But again, they're all forecasts, so if we hold stable where we are today, gas prices are very reasonable.
Yeah, that's one good thing about it. Thank you very much. Any questions? Hearing none? Okay, then we'll move on to the next part. And I'm going to just take this time to recognize Commissioner Dan Holtz again for his time that he has served here as at this utilities and for a job well done. I'm not sure if we call it a job. You should be paid, so I'll say for his volunteer participation. He's done very well. He is, I believe, he has served our commission, our municipal utilities, and our community very well for the past, if I hope I have this right, 7 years?
Yeah, 7 years.
7 years, I did add that right. As our past president, he was president, past president, again, I want to say thank you for your leadership, your involvement in what's been going on, and we are very appreciative of all the work that you did and led this organization down the road in a good way, in a very profitable way that we're going along. It's great. It's greatly appreciated. And so to that end, we have a little plaque here, a certificate of appreciation presented to Daniel Holtz for outstanding and dedicated service from 2011 to 2017 from the Roma Municipal Utilities Commission. Standing ovation for you, Dan. Any comments from your side, Dan?
Well, it doesn't seem like it's been that long, but it has. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much. I tell you, throughout the years, it's changed quite a bit. You know, I think I've been in every chair except Zach's. But really have had great commissioners to work with. The utility is a great place to be a part of, and I'll miss it, but other things are calling, so I really appreciate it. And thank you so much to everyone. I appreciate it.
You're most welcome.
Yep.
Okay, then going on to the General Manager's Report. Manager, Mr. Heron, if you could start there, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The first bullet item, for those that haven't heard, the Council approved the ordinance that adjusting our rates. Ordinance was adopted as requested by the Commission. Therefore, the intergovernmental franchise, as we discussed, will fully go into effect starting in 2018. And our water rates, we requested a two-year implementation for that, 2018 and 2019, and the ordinance was adopted as such. So that process has been completed. Second bullet, staffing notes in your packet or part of your agenda. We have staff discussion on the MOAs that we were requested to develop. Speaking with Mr. Holland, the city administrator, the MOA for the intergovernmental transfer, if the commission and council concur, we don't feel there's a need to develop an MOA as the ordinance states and identifies how the intergovernmental transfer will be calculated. However, we do have a lot of work to go yet on the water MOA that we have to develop. And we'll be bringing that or our notes as well as discussion to the planning committee here on Friday to further discuss and solicit input from the planning committee on their desire or appetite to support or request something different than what's being discussed before we start finalizing it. Also, in your packet, you have the proposed educational topics, and today you heard updates from three of the departments. That is part of that educational package. Every meeting we list the items that we're going to bring in front of the commission. We do have some openings regarding some of the months, some of the meetings. So we're soliciting input from the commission. If there's any topic that you would like for staff to expand on, we will fill in on those dates that are open. Or if you want something different on any one of those dates, we can also alter what we submitted today as well.
But with that said, we will move forward with the schedule as presented to you today unless we hear back differently. And the rest is the listing of the meetings and both the Labor Committee and Planning Committee that we have upcoming, as well as some of the agenda items that will be brought in front of those committees at those meetings. So unless there's additional questions, I have nothing further to add.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Aaron. Comments, questions? It was quite a lengthy discussion there. If you look through as far as what's going on, John, again, it's just highlighted that the discussion took place, and if you have specific questions about any of it that's coming up, or excuse me, not that's coming up, that happened there and what will be future work that they will have to work on, and hopefully get timely responses from our friends over at the city offices would be appreciated, but I don't know if you can put that on our goal for the next year. Hearing none, anything else to come before the commission today? We will be following this meeting with our Labor Committee meeting. Anything else to come before the commission? Anything else to come before the commission from anyone? One more thing I do want to add, so I'll start asking a question all over. Has the mayor offered, has he got some replacements for Dan in consideration that he's discussing at all, that he's brought up? He hasn't to me.
Madam Chair, I've not heard from the mayor regarding how that process is going. If anyone has submitted or requested to be considered, I have no idea at this time yet.
I know that he did ask at the city council meeting for names to be brought forward, if at all possible. Okay, all right. Anything else to come before this commission? Nothing more to come before this commission? Meeting adjourned.